Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it is like to wake up to your authentic self. My name is Emeril.
I'm Pamela.
And I am Lola. And a little bit about ourselves before we start diving in. For those of you who are new to us, we are Soul Tribe, Soul Family. And I'm Lola. I am a spiritual teacher. I teach tarot using the Thoth Tarot deck. I've got some classes going on. If anybody's interested in person classes, just check in with me on our Facebook. Oh, we have a Facebook group,
yes,
called Welcome to Woo Wooville, the podcast. And I am also a spirit guide artist. I love all things woo woo. I do psychic fairs. What else do? I can't even think about the things. Oh, I'm an energy healer. Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah,
Reiki master, just like these other two. So in addition to being a Reiki master, what do you do, Emeril?
I'm a hairstylist, but I also work. I'm an energy healer. I'm a Reiki master, as well as I offer services with the hair services, meaning I'm working on my clients, clearing them out, and helping them, those that are open and ready to hear what I can bring of help to them, as well as I host a breathwork class every other week. And if you join our Facebook page, like Lola mentioned, Welcome to Woo Woo Bill on Facebook, you can connect with me and get all the information, and I can send you the Zoom link. So feel free to reach out.
His breathwork classes are free and fabulous.
Yes.
And Lola also hosts a monthly drum circle.
Oh, my light language drumming circle. Yes,
yeah.
We all live in Washington State, so that's in Stanwood, Washington, if anybody's interested in that. We have this wonderful Native American mother drum that I have become the custodian of, that I bring, and everybody brings their hand drums, and we pick an intention. As a group, we decide what we want to focus on, and then we'll start a drum beat, and I'll sing in light language. So those can be very powerful and healing events. So if anybody's interested in that, I post the dates also on my website, which is lolasinger.com.
Awesome. Those are powerful. Yes. I am Pamela. I'm a certified shaman. I'm also a transformational life coach, medium, medical intuitive, and I enjoy lots of other interests as well. So there's lots of different ways to work with me. But yeah, that's kind of a little bit about me.
Yeah. And one thing that I guess we should say about the three of us is that, like many of you out there, we weren't born with these skills, or if we were, they were trained right out of us, and we forgot we were born with them. So, you know how sometimes you'll read about some psychic on their websites, like, ever since I was a child, I did this, this, and this. Well, we don't remember doing that. So we had to start from scratch, just like a lot of you, tearing off the veils of indoctrination and embracing the woo-woo. So if we can do it and become energy healers and shaman and light language singers, you can do it too. And that's what this podcast is about.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I think, Emeril, go ahead and tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
In today's episode, we're going to be, the name of this episode, it's called Balancing is an Art. It Takes Practice.
And I think that we were just kind of, have a list of options of topics to talk about, but we were kind of coming together again. Like last week, we needed a therapy session ahead of time, and this time we're going through a lot of emotions and just navigating different things that are going on in the world and within our own world. And we thought, oh, balance is really could segue into well with what we're going on and what kind of spiritual coping skills one might want to have in their toolbox, if you will, to help you navigate your own inner peace.
And this is coming up because I am hypersensitive. I'm I'm very much an empath, and when they came to my place to do the recording today, I'm feeling kind of melancholy and blue. So they're my two friends are more upbeat than I am today, and you know what? That's okay, because we go through our ups and downs when mm-hmm. we're dealing with our spiritual journey. And one of the things, I guess, one of the top skills to learn is to realize when it's not you feeling the sadness for yourself, it's you feeling the sadness for humanity, which is what I'm doing right now. Mm. And that gives you, I guess, even though it feels sad, it gives you a little bit more of a clinical perspective.
And then also I want to bring it down to everyone's level, meaning, for example, if you're a mother, you don't, like, a kid doesn't have to tell you they're upset. You can sense that they're upset. It's kind of the same concept, just in a broader spectrum. So that intuition that you connect with in the collective is just everyone around you. So when they're feeling a certain way, those that are very empathic can really tune into it and get those feelings. So that's what we're talking about too. But the reason why I'm mentioning that is because a lot of the times it's like people think, oh, only certain people can tune into that. You have that ability. It's just maybe it's not such in such a broad spectrum scale, but we all have that. Intuition is something that we all have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess going back to moms, you know, maybe it's a good for them to open up their eyes and realize, because I was very angry young woman and young child, and it was because I was feeling, I always felt the collective. And so I would act out of anger because I didn't know what to do with all of this emotion. Mm-hmm. Oh, so what moms might be thinking is just a phase or hormones. It actually could be you have an empathic child mm-hmm. or an empathic teenager, and they're acting up because they don't have the coping skills. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why we're talking about balancing today. You know, there's a variety of ways to deal with these kinds of feelings. And I guess what's been working for me so far today was, number one, recognize it wasn't all mine, that I'm feeling the energy of everybody on the planet, basically. And on top of it, I'm fortunate to have Tribe to talk to. So they've been listening to how I've been feeling and offering me ideas and just being good sounding boards. So I thank you for that. And I would say balance is mastery. Mm-hmm. We're here to deal with polarity. That's one of the things we came to learn a lesson about on Earth, because this is a world of polarity. So if you're feeling the blues, like I'm feeling the blues, then to get out of it, you would try to balance by focusing on things that can make you feel more optimistic, for example. So having a good talk with you guys certainly helped.
Good.
Yeah, and deep breathing, like your breath work, oh my goodness, that makes a difference too. And, you know, you can deep breathe anywhere, any place, anytime. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm holding on to my magic wand. I have a healing wand, a crystal wand that is, if people could see it, you'd be surprised. It's pretty amazing. And because this wand is set up for healing, I'm holding on to it while we do the broadcast. So it's okay to use tools too, I guess, is to say physical mm-hmm. tools.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm kind of hogging the mic because I'm the one with the melancholy today. But why don't you guys go ahead? Let's pass it on to the more upbeat people.
Oh, so, no.
I want to start with bringing up a kind of a realistic thing, and not to dwell on anything. But I mean, if you have to like really look at how things are presented, notice I'm using a word specifically, presented. Pretty much life right now seems like a roller coaster. Some days you're feeling great, and some days you get carried away by emotion, and then you feel like you're just going diving in really like fast and freaking out about it. You know, emotions are valid, and we all are always going to have emotions. There's days that you're going to feel great. There are days that you're not going to feel that great. But to choose to live in certain emotions is really what we want to focus in, because what we choose to live in is what we attract. So part of the mastery of balancing, the reason why you want to balance those emotions that are too extreme is because you are aware of the emotions, you allow the emotions to come in, but then you want to shift them so that way you're not bringing that constant energy to, because you can't complain about something and then be the cause of it. And I know that sometimes it's a way bigger picture, but you have to understand that what we focus on, and especially the emotion that we give to things, is what we end up manifesting in our lives. So this is a retrospect part of really balancing those energies so that we understand how energy works, and we also are able to shift it whenever we're sending out energy that is not the best, or it's not going to bring us the best outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think of balance. I like visuals. So I think of like the teeter totter, you know, mm-hmm. as a kid, you know, if you had somebody, it was a lot bigger kid got on that teeter totter, you know, you were going to go maybe way up high in the air, and then they get off and you're slammed back down to the ground. And, you know, having that perfect weight that's balancing, you guys can have fun. But, you know, it is mastery. And it's first, I love that Lola was aware. She had the awareness of what was going on, and I mean that's a huge part of it, like knowing what, just being aware of your feelings, where when you were a kid you're just you know, all these hormones, all of these intense feelings, you don't know where it's coming, if it's yours. It certainly feels like yours because you're going through it.
Yeah, but this isn't hormones what we're talking about,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So when you're feeling these intense emotions, how do you balance it? And it does come back to mastery. One thing that I'm noticing for myself is how much more important the word peace has become in my life. So just before this shift with Aquarius, I noticed that some really old timelines were coming up, and they were painful ones. And I was doing my best to not feel triggered. I felt like I was wading through that pretty well. But I fell asleep and then would wake up with that worry of what was going on early in the morning. And I felt like a call to arms. It was basically my warrior self was going, okay, if this happens, this is what we're going to do. And it was like all the situations in my life where I've had to kind of fight the system, if you will. you know, I'm very much feel like I have the activist heart. And so I've been in situations and work and all these different things where I've had to advocate and maybe get help with an attorney or something like this, or I have to present my case to something. So all these different things were coming to me on how to fight the situation. And instead of going into that, I kept praying and asking, like, please help me with this. Because, you know, it's like 3 a.m. and you're waking up with this panicked feeling, and your peace is definitely not there. And I noticed that me calling in for help was helping me, but it took several tries for it to get a state of calmness.
Okay, that's what we're wanting to learn. What do you mean by calling in for help?
Okay, thank you. So I just started talking to my spiritual team. Sometimes I go by intuition, so sometimes I might hear, ask the angels, or talk to your higher self, or call your spiritual team, or pray to God. And I just go by what I'm intuitively led to. Sometimes I'm like, all hands on deck, I need everybody. And this was certainly that situation.
Now, the thing with spirit guides, that people who are new to this, even some people who aren't, is that they might not realize you do need to call them in. They have rules they have to abide by.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting for your call. You actually have to invoke them and ask them verbally for them to come in and help you. And you don't need to know the name of a specific guide. You just need to know the function of that guide. So could you say, oh, was that my phone or yours?
Yours.
I'm sorry, guys. That was my phone. You know, the guide who can best help me to balance my emotions.
Right.
Please come through now.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank you for clearing that up.
How about the guy who can remind me to turn the phone off? Come in now.
And so in that process, as you're going through these deep healing things, and you're looking at old stories and shadows and stuff, what I was noticing in these situations is I'm not feeling peaceful. I'm feeling activated. I'm feeling agitated. I feel like I need to fight the world. Who's coming after me? All of these different things were wanting to rise up. And so asking for help, praying.
I don't like the word pray.
You don't like the word pray?
No.
Tell me why.
Because most people are asking for something. They're coming from a position of lack when they're praying.
Well, if you're calling in and asking for help.
Calling in and invoking is different than prayer. Prayer is that people come from a helpless position.
Okay, I've never thought about it that way. That's interesting. I appreciate
that
you...
That's why there's a difference between being religious and being spiritual.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about hearing that you you are a prayer? Have you ever heard that saying, like, you are a prayer of, like, your ancestors, or you are a living prayer of XYZ? Can it have other...
I think prayer is a loaded term in my... At least for people who've been indoctrinated like
okay.
I have.
Yeah, see, and so isn't that interesting how just one word can feel mm-hmm. different to other people? Like, to mm-hmm. me, it's a very... I have a good feeling around it, but I can see...
How about you, Amaral? What
so
do you think of
for
when
me,
you hear the word prayer?
I don't really pray, but I do surrender. So mm-hmm. that is my key word. Like, what I surrender, for example... I know in this human body, I can do certain things, but also when I know that I feel like I do need that extra help from a spiritual guide, then I surrender. And the way I surrender is I just connect with my heart and I say, look, this is where I'm at. I could use some help, and I'm
yeah.
just surrendering that
mm-hmm.
idea,
yeah.
which comes different from, at least to me, like we all have our opinions and stuff. To me, it comes different than prayer because it's more about allowing in asking
mm-hmm.
for that guidance team to come in instead of like, well, I mean, and I guess it's true too. What we have to understand is we're all coming from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So if like, we're just showing you how we feel about it, but what we want to clear out is we're not pointing fingers and we're not saying like, oh, just because like you believe in prayer that this is wrong or whatever. More open yourself to the idea of going behind how you're really feeling about it when you're doing it. Because if you're feeling at peace and you feel comfortable, then that's working for you. But if you start analyzing or start feeling like prayer isn't really, like you want to take it a step further, then maybe explore other things that might work out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you coming from a shaman background, they do use that term a lot, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's yeah. not the way I learned it in church school.
Right. No, and I appreciate...
In church school, I learned to be completely helpless.
Yeah, and I
yeah.
love that you shared that mm-hmm. because here, that's why we work good together
mm-hmm.
because we share our different perspectives. When I say pray, I'm calling in and asking for help, guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of term that.
And that's, I guess, what I'm calling invoking.
Right.
And
you calling
surrendering.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 So, I love that because, like you were saying, Amaral, it's about your attention. Where are you feeling?
Yeah.
Where are you resonating?
Yeah. And I don't resonate if I use the term prayer.
You
I
know
don't.
What?
It would feel so false to me.
And I can appreciate that, too, because also it's taken me full circle to come back around to prayer. I had kind of a step away from certain things, and now I notice I'm coming back to... back to I feel like I'm more balanced where I have worked through some of that programming.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about balancing my emotions is I'll say, what do I need right now in this moment?
Yeah. That's a good one.
And so I was on my phone and I was looking for some Christmas gifts for my grandkids. And I see this doll. And before I can even put it through my brain to... It was like, get that. Jumped out of me. I want that. And I went, whoa, what the heck's going on? It was my little girl inside, which we've talked about in an episode
mm-hmm.
of our inner child. But she wanted this doll. It was an American doll. I had always loved them. I wanted them for my daughters. And my little girl was like, I want that doll. And it was a really good price. So I drive down, and it's farther than I would normally go. But I was like, I want to do this today. This actually feels really good. And I was happy at the concept of something that was exciting and seemed to be lighting me up at the moment. So I go meet this lady. We have a wonderful conversation. She's so sweet. She has this room with babies and dolls. And and I was like, I love babies too. We just had this cute conversation. And she's like, this has never been touched by the hands of a child. It is set on a shelf. And I was like, oh, I just immediately grabbed her, was holding her. I'm like, this is making me so happy. So I put her in the seat next to me as I'm driving away, and out of nowhere, I just burst. I went from being completely happy to bursting into tears, and I'm like, what is going on? And it was my inner child was like so happy. And she was like, you know, we didn't have very much. I didn't have very many toys. And she was like, you know, there was neglect and abuse. You know, there was things that you don't always realize as a child that you go through. And so that's the reparenting and bringing him back. But bringing her that happiness. And I said, I know this is probably going to make sense to anybody else. I'm trying to tell my boyfriend I'm on a journey to get this doll. I'm not going crazy because, you know, I'm trying to fill in for my kids being gone. But I needed something to feel nurturing. And so I was brushing her hair, and it brought me back memories of things where I felt like, you know, I can take care of her and I'm taking care of my inner child. So to me, what do I needed in that moment was something that would give me joy.
Mm-hmm. But that's balance, because you recognize that your inner child was the one acting out, not so much you.
Yeah.
So that's another thing where to keep in mind, you know, is this me? Is this the collective? Is this my little girl inside of me? It can be coming from a variety of sources.
So,
Go ahead.
Another thing too that I want to bring out, because like now it's like I'm being nudged to bring this out. So as we start this journey, there's a lot of things that we're going to find about ourselves, because that is truly what you're doing. You're going deeper within. You're finding out what things feel great, what things don't. We all have a default setting. And I didn't know this for the longest time. So a lot, like the most common default setting is that survival mode, or that like being like that warrior mode that's always like, okay, what am I battling? Mm-mm. And it's like that takes away so much from your peace. And I'm only saying this because I had it too, just like many, like most of us do. But it's sometimes about, it's not about becoming your enemy and judging yourself. Because a lot of the times, I think culturally, we're used to pinpointing emotions as like they're wrong. It's mm-hmm. more about realizing, okay, this is where I'm at, but what can I do to balance that energy, to shift it? So yesterday was not, it was kind of a interesting thing, because I did a Reiki session online with Samantha. She was our Reiki instructor, and she brought up a good point. She said, you're doing so much healing, you're working so hard on yourself, and what happened to your inner child? And I was like, oh yeah. So she's like, you just need to find more ways to have fun. And it was just a simple word, right? And then one of my friends sent me this text and said, like, oh, look, Spirit said to send you this. And it was like an old Disney cartoon. It was called Gummy Bears. And I used to love that cartoon. And so I realized I had Disney Plus. So I looked it up and I watched a few episodes. Not only did I watch a few episodes, I had my husband watch those episodes with me. And he said it wasn't a bad show. He actually enjoyed it. But my inner child was very happy, and I felt the fun that I hadn't had in a long time. We get so caught up in life with everything. It's like your problems become your priority, and you think as an adult, you're supposed to have this adult hat all the time, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden disregard your emotions or what seems fun to you.
Yeah.
And it's about connecting to what is your timeout? What is that neutral point where you can be like, okay, now I feel a lot better. This makes me feel a lot better. It doesn't have to be just watching a cartoon. It can be something as simple as going on a walk, connecting with nature, being by the ocean. There's so many ways to balance our energy, but it's up to us. Like, it's that introspect of really going in and realizing this is what calms me. This is what brings peace to me, and incorporating that. Because if you live a life of nothing but stress, trust me, it's like a boiling pot and it will explode one day. And unfortunately, with those people that allow themselves to get to that point, the outcome is not very well per se. But I mean, things just happen the way they need to happen. But instead of doing that, why don't you see within? Why don't you see the parts that balance your life? Why don't you see the things that actually make you feel like you're enjoying life? Because that's what it is. When it gets too serious and you're all like always like on, what break are you having? Mm-hmm. Or how are you really bringing that peace to yourself, that balance that you truly need, that your soul needs? Because it's not even just about us. It's just our soul is calling for that peace. And a lot of the times our inner child really have the answers of having fun. Because if you think about it, if you ask anyone, when was the best time of your life? They're going to tell you when I was younger, and they're going to tell you a game they loved, they enjoyed playing. They're going to tell you maybe I have a stuffed animal that I have to rebuy because it's what I give it hugs every once in a while because I want to make sure that my inner child feels appreciated. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my dog got into it. And she grabbed, and it's a collectible too, you guys. It's Fozzie from the Muppet Babies, old show. She got into it, and my old self would have freaked out, right? And my husband goes, because I think he, in a way, recognized that my old default setting would have been just of, like, get really angry, right? So he goes, Belle got into your stuffed animal. And he was kind of like, could feel his voice was kind of like a little bit. And first I thought, okay. I said, well, did she rip it? It's like, no, but she ripped the tag. I'm like, just put it in a higher spot. And it was an immediate answer, right? The old me would have just thrown a fit because, oh, how dare she touch us? Like, I'm going to control how my pet thinks. I'm going to control her actions. It was obviously around for her to reach it. It was my fault. And it's part of taking ownership for it. But we all have our own triggers, and doesn't mean that you can work on those triggers, and they don't have to hold your energy against you where you explode. You can learn by balancing your emotions out. You get to the point where you start almost not recognizing yourself anymore because the things that used to, like, get you mad are no longer going to have that same effect. And it's because you're no longer allowing the buildup of everyday life to get to you. Because your triggers, we're all going to have triggers regardless. But when you accumulate things, that trigger is going to be a lot bigger than of someone that's balancing themselves out.
Yeah. One thing is, like, can you see your evolution? I love that you were able to say, like, the old me. And I've...
Oh, that's actually a coping skill.
Yeah.
When I used to help people quit smoking on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Old me versus new me.
Oh
yeah.
That is a coping skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The old me would have done this, but the new me does this.
Right.
So the old me used to brood, but now the new me will go meditate, or the new me will listen to some frequency music, or the new me will take 3 deep breaths.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a matter of learning what works for you. But I wanted to simplify what you guys are talking about because you guys have gone really deep into the inner child. Mm. So balance. So the whole time you're talking, I kept thinking, balance is this simple. If you're feeling agitated like a warrior, which I think you were trying to say, but using the inner child as an example, then you need rest and reflection, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you've been too passive and you start to get that tingle, like, I'm supposed to be doing something, well, then it's your time to get active, and that could be doing anything, you know, dancing or cleaning or whatever, doing some research, whatever it is. So that's the key to it all. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, and looking at yourself going, where have I been living in this last few days, or where's my energy been at?
And sometimes you don't realize it while you're in the midst of it. It's like a fish doesn't know it's in water.
Right.
You know, so you may not recognize it right away. You might be brooding for a couple days and then suddenly have that aha moment. It's like, oh, okay, I need to do something that nurtures me.
Right.
Whatever it may be.
I'm curious.
Yes, you are.
When have you, this is for both of you, so you can be thinking, Emerald, because I'm asking Lola first. When have you felt the most, and this doesn't have to be the number one, but what comes to mind, explain the situation, whatever, when you felt the most balanced with what your frequency, with who you are and your frequency in a moment of time where you're like, you just felt like, ah.
Yeah, you know, there's a coping skill that I had forgotten about after you guys came here, which I love, which is to embody the highest version of you.
Okay.
Bring it in. What does it feel like? Mm. And when she comes in, she's very regal.
Oh.
And she's very sophisticated and calm.
Okay.
Yes. So,
ooh, I love that.
Yeah, so I mean, I would encourage everybody in the audience to just picture that embodying the highest version of yourself. See how you feel. Do you sit taller, for example? Mm. Like, I know I'm sitting taller when I embody her. I just feel so calm. It's like I hold my head higher.
Right.
Everything about it is just very, almost queenly, you know? Majestic, I guess that's the word. She's quite majestic and calm.
Right.
So I hope everybody's trying that out in the audience.
I think that's interesting, you know, and I hope I'm not calling you out on this, and if I do, I apologize because that's not my intention. Everyone, do you know where I'm going? I have not heard that from you, that I could definitely 100% see the queenly. Like, mm-hmm. You are sophisticated to me. You know, I see you that way. You're very knowledgeable. You well-rounded. I see the sophisticated. But I didn't realize your higher self, you had this, felt this calm. So as you talked about that, I could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, isn't that interesting that in this lifetime, the character of Lola, this role that you're playing, she kind of suffers with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that anxiety that played out earlier on was really a hypersensitivity to all the stuff that was going on around you, which manifests itself, because when you don't know what it is, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be like, I'm feeling all these things I don't know. This triggers me and that triggers me. And so at times when I've been with you, I see you in your groove. And in your best, and like, this is where you live and you feel really comfortable. And because we're close, you know, sisters, I've also seen you when you've not been in that, where you've been in environments that really kind of throw you off kilter and you have to work harder to, you know, work with the anxieties of things that are coming up. And so isn't that interesting? The mastery of playing this.
It's a role model. I mean, role game.
Yes.
Yeah. A role playing game, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially too with your 6-2 human design, you're a role model. And so I love, thank you for sharing that, because I think you embodying her, especially in situations, dare I say, driving, dare I say, a car wash. We went through a car wash together.
I feel you about going through the car wash.
And we were, and she goes, and Pamela, I'm not the only one. I found another person that has this same thing. And she's like, will you go through a car wash with me? And I'm like, absolutely, I will. Absolutely, we'll do this, you know, together. And I said, and you know what, one of my kids, she hated the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, and so I put myself in like, oh, if I'm a little child and you're sitting in a car seat and all this stuff is coming at you and it's all, you know, on the windows, you hear the loud sound of the water, like that can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, something happened there in childhood that was like, I went through a car wash and my parents were fighting. And so now I never want to go into that.
Or it could be
again.
The feeling of entrapment from another lifetime, too.
I think that's more it.
Yeah.
Just feeling like everything's cascading over you and there's no place to... It's almost claustrophobic.
Right.
But anyway, that's me. So what did you come up with Pamela's question?
And it was about, like, the most...
What do you feel? You know, it doesn't have to be the only optimal, but just think of what comes to your mind when you think of when you've felt the most balanced.
Okay. Where I feel the most balance in it, my full essence of who I am and what I radiate the best energy is when I travel.
Oh, yes.
And when I connect with certain energies, and I think I narrow it down to what it is. It's the freedom of not having to belong and having to be forced to do something. Because, so when I travel to places... I get this freedom in my mind of I disconnect completely from the energy around me. So this is my time to really enjoy, to soak in it, to just let it in. And it's my heart space. It's really connecting with everything. But then I went even further back and I was like, well, where does this begin? Because it can't just possibly be when I started traveling, because keep in mind, I used to be a robot. I always make fun of it because I was like the perfect robot. I was so programmed to work, work, work. I thought... The more I worked, the better I was, pleasing, people pleasing. So that was my robot life. So once I started traveling, I discovered what freedom felt like. But then all of a sudden, now in my dreams, I've been brought back that what it was that I was craving was connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back to when I was a little kid. And I had such a vivid imagination, and I would play by the river, anytime I was by any body of water, and now I was touching the water and I was playing with it, I was in my element. Because that was like a true connection. And all around, what balances me is connection. But to keep it clear, positive connection.
I want to go back to water because we live on the Pacific Coast, and a lot of people, whether they're woo or not, they go to the water to mm-hmm. to balance. They love just being near the water.
Yep.
But a lot of people aren't near the water, and a lot of people can't travel. So I want to go back and point something out to Amaral, mm-hmm. which is his top spiritual coping skill that we've observed over and over again when he's feeling off. He does breath work.
Yeah.
So tell the people about breath work.
So breath work is a class I've been doing for the collective, and I started doing
Let's talk about it at a personal level.
Okay, at a personal level. So what has breath work done for me? Breath work has allowed me to release so much entrapment, because when I first started to seek the help of going within is because I felt trapped in my own body. I felt that I was living a life to please others and never myself. So breathwork really has helped me to release so much of what I no longer, like what wasn't me to begin with, but I didn't realize, and to start finding the light within me, my true essence of who I was. And because I felt so strong on it, that's why I started helping others, because I'm like, what if I bring this? But then, of course, being the alchemist that I am, I'm like, I want to switch it. Because when I first learned it, it was through a very corporate way where they were just very, I just didn't feel very authentic to me. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to personalize it to make it more spiritual, because that was more connected to my path. And now I'm actually like, it's interesting how the growth and how I seen the growth of it, because now it's like, I'm actually even doing light language in it, which I would never even think about doing before. So it has evolved as I evolved, because as we grow, our essence becomes different. And as we tap into our essence, we want to bring that into everything we do. And I know that could sound very complicated, because a lot of the times, those of you that have gone through feeling that entrapment, you can't even imagine what tuning into your essence is. But trust me, the reason why I'm using such drastic things such as calling myself a robot is because if I came from that and surfaced from that and thrived above that, so can you. Everyone can. It's just there has to be the will. But breathwork is amazing. It's a technique where you bring the breath really deep into you, and what it is prana energy, or it's called many things, but that energy just goes into our body and it heals. So wherever
prana energy is life force.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes in, and it's 30 minutes, but man, like, it can be really intense, especially when you have things. And the best thing is you're not feeling every emotion. You're almost like just bringing out the emotions to let them out. So it's not in a specific thing where you're like really going into each thing. And yes, sometimes when you're doing it, there'll be certain release aspects such as crying, such as sneezing, because it's all a release, yawning. But it's amazing. If you guys have not tried breathwork, I would highly encourage you to, because it is a great technique.
Mm-hmm. Would you say it works at a spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical level?
Yes, all three. Yeah. Definitely. Check mark on all three. And there's different ways to do it. And because it's that one, it's online. And so that one, I'm limited to a certain type of breath work because it has to work that way. But I'm really looking forward to doing it in person, because there's another breath work that I've learned that I really want to introduce. And there's just so much to breath work. The original creator of breath work was, when he first invented it, he was able to go back to the time where he was born, which is like pretty amazing. And that's how it all came about. And it's developed into so many different branches, I guess.
So I think for the lay people out there, it's what you're saying is he was able to look at aspects of himself.
Yes.
Because he's relaxed doing mm-hmm. the breath work. He's controlling his
yep.
body through the breathing so that he's controlling it, the body's not controlling him.
Exactly.
So that, but some people have visions, some people get auditory messages, some people get their kundalini, they feel their kundalini rising,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of benefits from it. So you don't even have to be that particularly woo-woo. When you're doing breath work, you'll release stuff that just needs to get out of your system anyway. Usually
yep.
it's blocked emotions, right?
Yep.
And then you're bringing in that life force energy, so you might actually have visions, for example.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is that I love when people say, like, I don't even understand what you mean when you say, like, energy around us, because all you have to do it is once to know what energy and how energy comes in and starts healing you. And it's amazing because when they get done, they're like, whoa, what was that?
And that's a great tool for rebalancing. Like we're talking about balancing, because you're getting rid of what needs to go and bringing in what needs to be
mm-hmm.
enlivening for you. Have you got a technique you particularly like for rebalancing, Pamela?
Oh, yes. When I have felt the most, I feel like, balanced, what comes to mind is out in nature. So it's funny, because probably why I wasn't so balanced before is because I never used nature all the way most of my life. We didn't live near the country like you, Lula. We lived a lot of, like, more of the city lifestyle. There wasn't a close nature park or anything, really. It just was work, you know?
Yeah, I used to go to the university down the
yeah.
street and stand on their grass and their lawn.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can get it in bits and places, few trees, but usually they were hard to reach or whatever. And I found that by the being in water, we talked about the water, when I'm in the river water and I'm playing, I can feel the movement of energy and I feel the most centered. And then and the later that day, it's followed by fire. And I just was thinking about this, how that is both symbolic for the masculine and feminine elements
mm-hmm.
of water and fire. So it really balances me out by using those two different, you know, nature modalities. And then I think the other part, my first thought when I asked this question of you guys was a recent cacao ceremony that we talked about in an episode, where all this heart expanding and I'm sharing how I
mm-hmm.
feel, and I feel so much love and connection to myself, and then also love for the participants and the community that was there with me. It's like, wow, this is the most me I can almost get, because it's so heart-centered and love, and I'm accessing my heart. So I feel this, like I'm in a bubble of love. And I'm like, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
why can't we live here?
People in the audience should know you don't have to have cacao to experience your heart center.
Right.
So just by focusing on your heart and feeling the energy of your heart, that is one of the rebalancing techniques.
Yeah.
So, yes, the cacao is great. It's a tool for helping to
right.
release. But I think what we're trying to find today are recommendations for, like, well, how do I don't have cacao, so how can I get that
right.
feeling? Yes, you
right.
can. You can do it just simply by focusing and feeling the energy center there.
And I like that you say that, because when I was first starting on my journey, if somebody said, well, you can tap into your heart and feel it, I wouldn't have known what they were even talking about. And if somebody said, oh, well, you can do that. So I had to work through and like you're talking about breath work,
mm-hmm.
release energy that was trapped in my body where I was cut off from my heart. So now one of the things I was sharing the other day was my daily maintenance of my energy is I tap on my heart field and
yeah,
I say amplify my heart. Now I know what that is, but at the time I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Connect to my heart. What do you mean? I'm seeing.
There's another one that's even simpler, you guys. Just
yeah.
put your hand on your heart and feel it, because I kind of forgot that it releases a chemical that is like giving yourself a hug.
Mm.
So just put your hand on your heart for a few seconds, and that will get you a very balanced very quickly.
Yes.
Light language does it for me,
mm.
you know, because
mm.
I sing and speak in light language, and if anybody does that, they know that it shifts the energy in your body. But even you know, I was listening to frequency music before they came in. I was listening to music specifically to calm my system, my physical system, and you can pull that up on YouTube. There's frequency music for everything. I think a really good one is frequency music for the vagus nerve.
Right.
You know, to help you stay calm and balanced. I'm trying to think of the quick things people can do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I mean,
I was just thinking if I was in the audience, well, that sounds great, but what can I do?
Yeah, I was just sharing that it kind of extreme is what felt me the most heart centered. I mean, you can get that
going back to your original question.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's also guided meditations you can find on YouTube for free that can, like, you can start with simple ones. They have, like, 10-minute ones, 5-minute ones. What it is really is about tuning inward. The distractions are always going to be outward, outside of you. But it's just taking that moment. If you can think of what makes you go within, what makes you get relaxed to the point where you're actually connecting with your inner being instead of the outside noise. That's really, in meditation, it's so interesting because when I first started, everybody's like, oh, you have to meditate this way. This is the right way to meditate, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody pointed out that made the most sense. They said, you can meditate with your eyes open. Mm-hmm. You can meditate with your eyes closed. You can meditate anywhere. What it is being able to go within and being able to relax. Something's as simple as paying attention to your breath. Mm-hmm. And just relaxing, that's a form of meditation. And when somebody broke it to me like that, I was like, that's why when somebody says to you guys, this is the only way to do it, run away.
You know, part of balance, like I think, Lola, I'm recalling another episode where you said the counter to this. So if you're feeling this emotion, this is the frequency that I would bring into to balance that. So
yeah, so that goes, we're talking about the pillar of mercy and the pillar of severity on the Kabbalistic tree of life. So when we're too merciful with ourselves, like we talked about, we'll get a kick in the bottom to get moving. So it's better if we get moving on our own first, right?
Yeah,
so you want to think, okay, if I've been too passive, what can I do to get more active? Mm-hmm. And if you've been too harsh on yourself, what would be the balance? Mercy, right?
Right.
So how, you know, if I've been tough on myself, what can I do to make me feel better? Like you with the little inner child who wanted the doll. So it's, you know, everybody's going to be different. Another thing that I think we talked about that I think is just a really good tool is affirmations. You know, we talk about I am statements, not I want or I wish. See, that's what I associate with prayer.
Oh, okay.
See, that's why for me,
right,
I want, I wish is a prayer.
Yeah.
But I am is a declaration and an invocation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I am able to I am able to shift how I feel. It could be just as simple, just to say that, you know. I do want to read an affirmation that I found I had saved on my phone before the episode started, just because I read it, and when I said it, it's like, well, it makes me feel better. So I'm giving this to you guys. You can you know, re-listen to this and write it down if you want to. I call my power back to me. I call my energy back to me. I call my magic back to me. I am cleansed and disconnected from anything that may drain me. I am shielded from any energy that does not serve me. I am safe. I am protected. I am whole, and so it is.
Mm.
To me, that's an invocation, not a prayer.
Yeah, I like that one.
But anyway, you can come up with your own I am statements too. So it's like you know, I was feeling melancholy, you know, so then the I am would be, I am feeling melancholy, but I will feel better in a few minutes. See, that shifts the whole thing. You're not denying that I'm not denying that I felt melancholy or sad. I'm accepting it and then flipping it around.
Mm-hmm.
I also find gratitude too, to be like a great shifter of just energy and creating, like, if you're not feeling that well, start listing off the things. I am grateful for this, whatever you are. I'm grateful for being able to breathe. I'm grateful to being able to wake up. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for whatever it is. One thing that really started shifting things for me was I had a gratitude journal, and I would write it at night. I still have it, and I still do it. At night is that time right before you go to bed. Your body is going into this part where it's relaxing, and then your subconscious mind is starting to kick in because you're winding down, and that's a perfect time to like have gratitude, write down about gratitude. Also, another thing too is if those of you, which we all are, when we want to work with bringing certain energies, manifesting things, you can write it down as a gratitude statement as it's already happened. And because it's going into your subconscious at that time, because you're getting sleepy, it actually really sets it on where you're constantly thinking about it. So for that, you're bringing that energy in.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's a great tool.
All right.
I was thinking you can rebalance too through your olfactory senses. Because before we started, I lit an incense. To kind of shift the mood in here.
Yeah, that's a quick one too.
And we have a friend who's an expert at essential oils, and the quickest sense to pick anything up is your sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
So using an essential oil will definitely, if you look into, there's some, they have different properties that will help. We forgot our friend the rocks.
Oh, yes.
I guess because I'm holding a crystal wand, I guess we talked about it in a sense, but just certain gems and minerals have a calming quality, so like a grounding one, like black tourmaline, for example, you can hold on to.
Yep.
And Amaral's going to talk about something that he just picked up in my place.
And
they are balancers.
Yep, they're balance rods. And they come in different ways because I've seen the soapstone and the shungite.
They're Egyptian technology.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you hold, so this one has the copper and the shungite. And so you're holding, for me, this is what resonates. Again, I'm not going to tell you what resonates because I think that some people, some things can have it in different ways. But my left hand, I hold the copper one. My right hand, I hold the shungite one. And that really just helps balancing the energy. And you can do something as simple as just closing your eyes and just taking slow breaths and allowing that balancing to happen. The other ones that I've seen is soapstone, and they're smaller. And on the left hand, you hold the soapstone, and then on the right, you hold the shungite. These, I don't know where Lola got hers, but I know that Mystical Wears carries balancers. So that's any metaphysical store would have them.
Not necessarily.
Well, not all of them, but
yeah, not the rods like you're holding.
Okay.
Mystical Wears has like some pocket-sized ones, some smaller ones you can hold in your hands. But the rods, you may have to. I've seen them on Etsy. I've seen them, and I've seen the soapstone ones even on Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They balance. They chemically balance your body. They're great. I love those rods.
Yeah. I love the sound. You already brought this up, but
yeah,
I do love...
We didn't really talk about the bowls, did we?
Yeah, the bowls, I was thinking of the tuning fork, too, is just...
a balancer, too.
Those are great ones to feel. I was doing a client this morning and smudging, and it was like as soon as I could smell, sense of smell, as soon as I could smell energetically, and I'm holding in my hand sage... I could just feel like a crispness, a clearness in the air. Things were just immediately cleansed. And I love the feeling of being able to do that and experience, you know, that feeling and sensation.
Yeah, and then I'm trained on Tibetan singing bowls, and that is so obvious I forgot to even mention it at the beginning.
Right.
If you have a singing bowl and you strike it, it sends waves and vibrations through your body. It doesn't even have to be loud. The vibration is more important, and the more you strike it, the more relaxed your body becomes. So that definitely can help you get rebalanced as well.
Yeah, I love that.
Also, like Lola was saying earlier, I think she already mentioned, but incense, that's really easy to get a hold of. It's a lot with intention. Like, for example, there's like, for me, like I love incense of sage to clear up a place. Also, it clears me up from just having that balance, feeling more balance. There's different, there's Palo Santo.
I love Palo Santo.
I love Palo Santo too. But what's really funny is I find it, some people find him a little strong. And then I look at them, I'm like, huh, interesting.
I was thinking of Lonnie's candles, which are actually energy devices, and the smell. So she infuses energy into the candles, puts also crystals and different elements in there. And so when you light this candle, you literally are smelling and feeling the energy of her creation and the intention of what she's putting in. And so I love that we have people in our community that have all these different gifts of what they're good at. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah, but we're talking people who aren't necessarily in our community.
Right. But how important tribe is.
Yeah.
And so finding people that can help you and support you, you know, and like we said, you can always reach out to us. That's why we're here doing this. But you're not meant to do this alone.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can find people who do energy work type candles, like at wellness fairs, as well as, it doesn't have to be a psychic fair, it could be a health and wellness fair. You can find them also, I was thinking, even sometimes at farmers markets.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes open for someone who looks like they mm-hmm. take a lot of pride in the candles they made, and ask them what ingredients they put in there and see if that resonates with you.
I mean, sometimes balance is just about, have I eaten today? Where am I at with taking care of my body?
Oh, taking care of yourself. Yeah.
You know, the body, like, when was, am I drinking enough? Have I, you know, the self-care, it's so easy to, especially if you're more prone to all these other spiritual energy type tools, it's real easy to forget the 3D mechanics that you're in a human body and it has definite needs. And if you don't get sleep and rest and, you know, equally balance all these other things that you need in your body to have a homeostasis that's, you know, in a good environment, taking self-care is key.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking of, because that reminds me, you know, like physically washing yourself, but we forgot you can spiritually wash yourself too.
Mm.
Like just imagine yourself standing in a waterfall and letting that water wash over you. You'd be surprised how much energetic, emotional gunk actually you can remove that way. It's very
simple. And you can
simple.
Do that in the mornings when you before you take a shower, before you step into the shower. Just imagine that all that water running into you. It's cleansing you and clearing you.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing that.
And then there's the dry brushing too,
mm-hmm.
where you can use your hand or you can actually use a brush and you just kind of start with your head and work your way down around your body, not touching your body, but just the energy around your body and brush it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's cool, all the things that you can learn about. Oh, I have... And some tools that you start out at the beginning, you'll notice you'll move on to something else and then go, oh, I never really do that one thing anymore that used to help me so much. And, you know, it's great that you can learn and grow and try new things and experiment. And that's what this life is about. Experimenting, trial and error.
Also, I want to mention that Lola mentioned a few grounding crystals or stones, but there's also crystals and stones that put you in a really good mood. They're more like high vibrational. Sometimes you had a rough day and like as soon as you hold one and you just kind of ask for it to help you with like just in your mind, just like tune into the energy, it'll make you feel so much better, especially like the ones that are like about happiness, about like just bringing in peace. There's some that are just amazing. I love moonstone. I love Golden Healer.
Golden Healer I like, and Fluorite's nice too.
Yeah, Fluorite's nice too. Also, the cheat crystal that I absolutely love is Clear Crystal, because with a clear crystal is literally about you allowing your intention to come into the crystal. So you just focus on what is it that you want to receive and then just pretty much ask for it, and then the crystal will do it.
Okay, well, people can have fun going down the rabbit trail of investigating the metaphysical properties of crystals. I hope we gave you guys some ideas of what it's like to be on the spiritual journey, have the ups and downs, accept them, figure out, is it my stuff? Is it someone else? Is it my inner child? What can I do to rebalance it? Am I feeling too agitated? How can I calm down? Am I feeling calm? How can I get myself moving again? And we offered you a few techniques that maybe you can play around with. And I hope that's been helpful.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you for listening to us.
All right. We'll be seeing you on the road to Woo Wooville again soon.
Bye. Bye.